Yeah.
Let's
Let's
go.
go. Spend too much damn
Spend too
time
much time
on
on
a
a
screen,
screen,
but
but
it is what it is.
okay.
You have any blue glasses?
Subscribe to Simply Bitcoin.
And we're live, I think.
Are we live? Are we live?
We are live.
We are live. Okay. Okay.
We are.
Welcome everybody to
the Meme Factory.
The potato.
He's gonna be a little,
late,
today.
Don't worry about Greg.
We still got the rest.
Still got
of
the
Meme
rest
Factory
of the Meme Factory
here.
Up in here.
We're missing
our
dog.
We're missing our dog.
Dylan.
LeClaire is our guest
Dylan,
today.
Man.
Dylan, man.
How's it going?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Oh,
it's going great,
I'm
man.
I'm excited to riff with you guys
and fuck around for an hour and a half.
Yep, we're ready for this.
I don't know if you are.
We got some hard hitting questions today.
Yellow's bringing the heat.
And so is Becca with Sammy.
So it's gonna be a fun one.
Let's rock.
Okay.
Well, before we get started, we have to get paid
by our sponsors.
We have an ad copy.
And I believe Greg has sent this ad copy to your DMs, if I'm not mistaken.
Has he sent that to you?
I don't know.
You want me to read this? Yes, this is how we get paid. If you do not read this, then our sponsors do not pay us. So that's how we get paid. Oh geez, all right. Well, fucking hell. All right, you guys are making work for this. I signed up for. Rearrange my tabs here and get it up in front. All right, here goes nothing.
Good evening, everyone.
My name is Dylan LeClaire, and this episode of Factory Factory Podcast is brought to you
by
Becca's
Sammy
and her sandwich.
And we told you so, poo boy.
We fucking told you so, poo boy, it's packed with nutritional goodness.
The real hero of the sandwich is the insolvency center,
where we've layered delectable cuts of FTX and Celsius by yield products.
We stuff the center of the poo boy with the sauce blend of influencer and pro athlete, harvested right when their sponsorship checks were deposited,
bringing all new meaning to the table.
All of this is topped with melted cheese logic to invest in platforms
and smashed toasted slices of French bread.
We sit back, relax, bag up, fucking told you so, poo boy today.
Finished. Thanks, man. Nobody heard the echo. Let's fix that first.
Yeah, it sounds like the chat is telling us there's an echo right now.
So we gotta fix that.
But it's cool. We'll wait for a minute.
It is a test stream.
Is this live? Is this a real stream?
Does that mean we get to listen to the stream again? Can we get into the whole thing again? Because of the echo.
Did we just find a hack? I think we did. Nah, we gotta fix the post. Okay.
I think Pedro's working on it right now. Okay, well, as we're waiting, Dylan, I'm gonna share my screen here and wait, where this one? And I'm gonna get, oops, that's the wrong one. Now wait. Okay, I'm also a boomer. Okay, well, here we have my sandwich menu. So we're gonna get you to pick one of the sandwiches. So I have three specials today. I have a CZ financially stable veggie sandwich. So this one comes with an annual subscription to QuickBooks and it's CCP certified. So we know where you're in the clear. Our second special that we have today is a Carolize whistleblower grilled rat sandwich. And this one comes with the Tears of Sam Bankfrod's milkshake. It's certified haram. And then finally, we have Yellows. This is our house classic. Yellows, Don't Stop Believing steak sandwich. It's been marinated in Red Bull for 402 days. And it comes with a watermelon salad. So.
Wow, appetizing options.
I know, right?
Probably go with
it. To the Mean Factory.
Yeah, we'll take the middle one, please.
Excellent. We'll have that right over to you. A grilled rat, Sammy.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Hey, that Sammy's coming right to you.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well
we'll bring it over.
Let's get in. Oh, Rusty, go ahead. Rusty, your hand is raised. Go ahead and ask a question.
Yeah. I just wanted to kick this off to get my bearings. Dylan, are you a toxic Bitcoin maximalist? And how do you feel about that question?
I would say so. I would say that the perception of toxic Bitcoin maximalists framed by the crypto industry is obviously one that's slight. Vitalik literally created it created the term, right? To slam. People don't like, but the truth hurts, right? So I am, yeah. But like,
awesome.
I'd hope to be an effective one.
So let's get into the current news. Like, I bet you're, I don't know how to make this like a fucking question like interesting again. I guess like you have heard that question like for the FTX drama, now the Binance drama, scandals, right? Like, how do you see like the domino of like the bank runs in exchanges continuing, like in smaller Chinese ones? Are we gonna see Binance collapsing pretty soon? I know CZ doesn't help with his interviews, like the interviews that he does like are making things worse. I don't know I think you saw the latest one from today. He basically said like, yeah, the lawyers will handle it. Like basically means like, yeah, I don't have that, like the liquidity right now. And then, but like, I can find it out. Like we can find a solution. If you're asking to withdraw $2.5 billion. how do you see the things?
Yeah, so I have an interesting take, and it's not one screaming around like some people are framing it as. It's not me screaming around that Binance is insolvent. Well, here's the catch.
I'm in the same page. Yeah. Well,
Binance has control. I like almost 99.9% certainty have control of $60 billion of crypto assets, right? $20 billion in stable coins, $10 billion or so in Bitcoin, $10 billion or so in ETH, and a bunch of shit coins, right? That aren't worth really anything. BNB. Right. If you guys have noticed, BNB BTC is like basically 20% from its all-time highs, which if like the altcoin industry, here's the thing is that during a Bitcoin bull market, as people are converging upon sound money and this technological advent that is the Bitcoin protocol, you have this liquidity pool sloshing around and it's mostly second system syndrome from investors looking for a solution that for a problem that doesn't necessarily exist, right? It's just a regulatory arbitrage of altcoins or blockchains or whatever the narrative is, ICOs, DeFi, NFTs for even this cycle. But it's all just really funny money. And unless if there's a marginal buyer, you can play this game. But if the marginal buyer dissipates and, you know, throw in four sellers and all of a sudden these bubble market caps just go away. And so the thing that gives me question or pause is that being like altcoins are just leveraged Bitcoin in bull markets, and not leveraged in the fact that if Bitcoin goes up 1%, it's like altcoins are guaranteed to outperform, but they're by nature just far less liquid and they're low float, right? So a little bit of money gets chucked at these gambling instruments and they go parabolic. So people believe the story, whether it's Ethereum or whether that's, you know, Avalanche or Luna or whatever altcoin outperformed this cycle, whatever altcoin outperformed last cycle, Bitcoin, right? But all of that's collapsing, and it's, so it's all beta. It's all just beta to Bitcoin. And when you see BNB, there's three altcoins that have a big, like big altcoins that have outperformed in 2022, outperformed Bitcoin. Dogecoin, which is a meme and which is 50% from its all-time highs in Bitcoin terms, and is just, it's literally a meme dog coin that no one uses. And the other is XRP, a shitbag quasi-security that's 90% from its all-time highs in Bitcoin. What's the third one, aside from these two irrelevant jokes? The third one's BNB, it's Binance. And Binance Smart Chain, or Binance BNB, whatever it's called, the thing that CZ and Binance control 40% of the float of in token terms, and in real terms, in terms of the network, they control 100% of it. They can just snap freeze the validators if they want to. It's worth 2.4 million Bitcoin right now. And that mark is fraud. Like that mark I can't say fraudulent, but the mark is just not real. It's just based on thin air.
So do you think that when it comes, so like a big argument for a lot of these altcoins is alt season, right? That's their whole thing. But alt season, like what is alt season? It's literally right after Bitcoin's halving, they all rely on Bitcoin's halving, and none of these other altcoins have a halving. So do you think that a lot of these altcoins play into this narrative of alt season, and like a BNB, and that they can in effect manipulate their price to watch it go up, and that way they can bring in noobs that will buy into BNB as they manipulate their price to go up, because they centrally control their own token?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they've done, right? Like, where do you think Sam learned his tricks, right? And like Alameda was running a Ponzi before the launch of FTT or FTX. They kicked the Ponzi can down the road by spinning up an ICO and starting a new derivative exchange. And then like Suzu and people at the time were like, oh, these guys that were running a Ponzi now just launched a BitMEX competitor, and no one took them seriously. And they basically launched the Solana ecosystem scam in 2020.
Yeah.
And you know, rode their way to paper bill, like billions of wealth, but they were the only marginal buyers of these things. And so when I look at BNB BTC at all-time highs, BNB has outperformed Bitcoin by 900% since the start of 2021, or like a month or two before. Who was the marginal buyer? And the answer is, we know. And we know because it's just the basic incentives of the game that these guys, or unofficially their partners, right, were buying these tokens. And the incentive for the exchange operators, like CZ is like, no, we've never sold Bitcoin. We never sell Bitcoin. We never sell BNB. Okay, great. You don't sell. So how do you realize those gains, right? With leverage. And so, like, I'm not saying these guys are the next FTX and, you know, the next 1,000 Bitcoin that gets withdrawn is going to bankrupt them. No, there's a long runway for Binance to go down. But most people in the space would say there's a 0% chance that Binance goes down. I don't know I'm not going to quantify it, but it's non-zero. And it's non-zero because that altcoin is not worth 2 million Bitcoin. And they have a whole bunch of leverage on that platform. And so the question for me is, like, is the solvency of Binance correlated in any way to the price of BNB? And I look at the chart and it's hanging off a cliff, right? And I just say it's non-zero. Like, I don't know. And so I'm not trying to FUD anything. I mean, you can't FUD a solvent exchange. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. But no, I mean, I am calling it out. I'm not shorting BNB because I have no funds on any of these global bucket shops, but
exactly. So let's say it for the guys, for everyone that's listening, we're not saying that Binance is solvent, it's everything's okay, so if you have coins there, just leave them there. I was saying the opposite. If you have coins there, withdraw them, but we're not gonna go ahead and like FUD pretty much everything just for the endorsement of my tweet, like as many are doing nowadays on Twitter. Like, it's the same thing as Moon Boy is like near the top saying like, we're going to 500K and like sell your houses and go in load. It's the same thing. Now we're in the bottom, and those kind of FUDs and those kind of like hidden interests from big players exist that are opening shorts and putting people on Twitter to basically FUD it more. So let's see the numbers And let's be realistic, right? Like, I do believe that CZ is kind of running a fractional reserve. Like, I don't believe he has all the liquidity there, to be honest. But I don't think that he's running a scandal in the amount of SAM and FTX, right, in Alameda. No. I really don't believe in that.
No, I mean, it's just a question of if they ever have to realize full redemptions and withdrawals. I mean, they have a massive amount of assets. It's the biggest pool of assets in crypto other than Grayscale. I think it's bigger than Grayscale.
Could you explain the difference, like, or the nuance, I guess I would say, of Binance showing proof, because they showed proof of reserves, right? Yeah. But what does that mean?
No, they don't. Without only knowing, Kraken does.
Yeah,
well, I thought Binance does.
Well, I thought Binance tried to come out.
No. It was like a semi. Dylan, go ahead and explain it.
What I was going to say is, what's like, if you don't know what their liabilities are, what's the point of knowing what they have on reserve?
Here's the odd thing about it, and like, this isn't some like, you know, what's that Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme of like the guy on the whiteboard, like conspiring, like drawing something up. No, like Jesse Powell, who's like a very legitimate, respected CEO of Kraken, who's like a hardcore cypherpunk type of guy, is like, and like these guys are in group chats together, right? They're self-interested. Why would he comment anything on a public forum? And Jesse Powell is like, hey guys, like, Binance reported collateralization ratios for their assets. And at one point, even like their director of strategy admitted at a certain exchange rate, like they quoted all of their assets. Here's the thing that's like, are you guys paying attention? They're quoting these assets, their pool of assets in Bitcoin terms, right? They're quoting their Bitcoin, right? Or they're quoting their assets and the proof of reserves in Bitcoin terms. And they're saying our collateralization ratio is over X. And it's like collateralization ratio, right? And they're including negative balances in these things. So when they don't report their liabilities, Willy Wu asked, hey, can we get liabilities? Proof of assets mean nothing. We know you have assets. And he goes, yeah, we plan eventually, but liabilities are harder. We don't have loans from anybody, just ask. And he said the same thing on CNBC today. Okay, great. Like, no, you don't have liabilities to anybody. The question is,
let's say also, Dylan, that if you publish like liabilities, you create a paper trail for the lawyers and yeah. Legal where your legal bases are, like where's your, like, you know, like you make it for the regulators easier to find you legally for the future if something happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly quite not astonishing, but like the fact that like, and it's quite like the sovereign individual kind of thing. It's very cool that these guys are just operating like a massive business, like with no jurisdiction on laptops around the world like that. No, I got to respect it. It's dope. And like, you have, you know, private keys managing $58 billion of wealth. Like, it's a very, very cool thing. The only thing is like, I'm just, some of the things are questionable. And so for me, the risk model, right? Like Yellow, like you were saying, I didn't have any money on FTX, right? But like, I knew people with, like, I've talked to funds that have money on FTX, whatever, was telling them days before, like, guys, the probability is non-zero. Like, it takes up to 1% probability that something goes wrong. The risk reward, the game theory quadrant of like player versus player is like, no, I'm going to withdraw first. I'm not going to be the bag holder. I'm not going to wait, right? That's just the reality. So like, and this is also another thing, right? FTX and Binance are derivative exchanges. So US people don't know what a derivatives exchange is. Like, there's reasons why, obviously, like the regulators don't want them, as we're seeing. But why, if you're bullish crypto or even bearish crypto, why have 100% of your net worth on these platforms? Like, put 10% of your net worth and use the leverage to actually manage risk, like, rather than just like punting, like, you know what I mean? So people that lost everything on FTX or, you know, have all of their net worth on Binance, you should learn about self-custody and use derivatives to manage your risk instead of taking a chance going all in on a certain exchange's solvency or all in on leverage trading.
Very good point. Yeah, you definitely got a self-custody. Rusty, your hands up. Go ahead. Rusty, you're still on mute.
Yeah, I was just thinking of another attack vector on Binance. It's not funny. Okay, all right, we good? All right, so Dylan, another attack vector on Binance if we talk about, I was listening to Jesse from Kraken the other day talk to someone about how, you know, look, they have to, it's not profitable enough just to run like a Bitcoin only exchange. That's their kind of excuse. So therefore, we, you know, if we don't post, if we don't let people trade these other shit coins, then someone else will. And so, and we need to, you know, we need to basically be a profitable company. So therefore, we need to trade shit coins. So I see that argument. What happens though if the narrative that we try to, you know, push, which is don't stop trading shit coins and just buy and hold Bitcoin? What if people start listening? These big exchanges that basically rely on these huge volumes of shit coins and just loading everything up. You know, what happens when it does change and people do realize that it's Bitcoin is the way, is when they lose all of it? Or is that a reality in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it's happening in a long process. But reality is, as Bitcoin monetizes a little bit more, you know, on an order of magnitude basis, once every 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, right? As it keeps appreciating, like we're just bringing in, you know, 10x more of like the, you know, this was like, I guess like the first huge, people thought 2017 was really big. Like this was the first like mass adoption cycle, super cycle of Bitcoin and crypto, right? In terms of awareness, but like, you're just onboarding so many people that like, even like some of the smartest people in finance and academia and whatever, like have zero understanding of what's actually happening here, or like why Bitcoin, like this boomer coin, continues to be like the number one thing. And the fact that like Bitcoin wasn't the first digital cash. It was just like the first one that people figured out, like that actually worked. Like we figured it out. Like we did it. So now it's just monetizing. People are kind of clueless, and casinos are still in, casinos are booming in a recession, right? Like people are always just going to want to think that they can find the next altcoin gem and 100x. It's unfortunate, but like, you know, just staying consistent and the people that are, you're not gonna be able to help everybody because these people can't help themselves. Right. So just, you know, the people that will listen will listen.
So you're saying the shitcoinery comes back around again next cycle?
Yeah, there will be some next level Ponzi's and just some absolute stupidity for sure. I the optimist in me for the longest time was like, no, like there's no way. Even in 2020, I hadn't even gone through a cycle, but I was just following and researching and reading what everyone said about the last cycles and learning from it. And I saw like a couple family members in this participated. Like my cousin wasn't like through 10K at the ICO boom and was like just blown away and then lost it all. And I was just like, yeah, like I doubt it happens again. And then DeFi summer kicked off, right? Where these guys like somehow put yield on a blockchain, and like there was this magic money machine all of a sudden. And it was just like leverage thrown on top of leverage on top of leverage on top of appreciating assets. And it was just, you know, this cycle that resulted in all these CeFi lenders
that was
hunting their customer balances onto exchanges and a massive crypto bubble, right? So I think it happens again. Maybe it happens in different ways. Maybe it's like a Ponzi's on top of Bitcoin. So you see Bitcoin's exchange rate, like it's like, oh my God, this time is different. This is literally super cycle. Fiat is going to zero, and it is going to zero. And it's just Bitcoin's going parabolic numbers that people just rip bases, gapping up 10, 20% a day. And people are like, this is it. Like the dollar's done forever. And then we're going to fall 80%. You know what I mean? And there's going to be like a global recession because Bitcoin's price tanks. And like the Fed's like going to like, because like think about it, right? Like Bitcoin.
Is this what you're thinking is going to happen in the next bull cycle? Is it?
Like, I mean, I don't know if we get there, right? But like,
but yeah, what do you think? Well, okay, wait. When does the next bull market hit, and what causes it, and what does it look like for?
Before you answer, talking about the bull market, I don't know if it says more my rotating Anima's free logo that like floats around. I don't know what says more that we are in a bear market. I haven't paid my subscription for that. It's $19 only. I just saw it. Go on.
Wait, Rusty. Someone tell Rusty to put his hand down.
Yeah.
Or you could tell me if I got the answer I wanted. I don't know. You could do that as well. That's better when I. All right. A better question. More important. I haven't finished my question. I'm not satisfied yet.
Okay. My bad. Okay. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. A better question would be then for you would be because you look at a bunch of charts, you're looking at numbers, you're doing kind of analyzing stuff pretty closely. Are you at least seeing hope in terms of, I know shitcoin volume probably goes down when in the bear markets, like every volume goes down during a bear market, but are you seeing ratio wise, like at least there's less shitcoining going on and more Bitcoin volume or trading, buying, etc., or are you seeing pretty much like fairly consistent fairly consistent data even now still that people are doing the same amount of bullshit this cycle than previous?
Well, in terms of like data to quantify it, I mean, I just look at exchange rates mostly, right? And so like I think ETH and BNB are extremely overvalued in Bitcoin terms, regardless of USD BTC USD exchange rate. So I think honestly, just in terms of like the global liquidity cycle, the fact that crypto is a total, like we're all in the crypto or Bitcoin industry, right? Like I'm in the Bitcoin crypto industry and I'll openly say it, like the industry, I tweet it, like the industry is a joke, right? It's a joke. And so who's going to come in here and bid like with institutional size, right? But heading into a traditional finance, a global economic recession, maybe depression in some places of the world, right? Like as in for, you know, worst recession since 08 or even before that. Who's going to be bidding magic internet, not even magic internet money, because that's a Bitcoin thing. Who's going to be bidding fucking ultrasound money internet coins or, you know, hyper, even like Binance, BNB is just a fork of Ethereum. Like who's bidding this? And the reality is no one. Like, so I think they all have more to fall in Bitcoin terms, and potentially I think Bitcoin can go lower. For sure. Like even with super like the on-chain metrics and that's sort of a meme, but like you can see the cyclicality in the data of bull and bears, and like Bitcoin's held more tightly close than ever at this point, but like price is set at the margin, and like we're heading into a global recession and all this leverage Ponzi just blew up, and you know, Michael Saylor and all these miners are racing the clock for the next 3 years to pay off their shitty debt. So like when's the next bull market start? I don't know. It's certainly going to be tied to the global liquidity cycle. I have a bunch of people been shitting on me all year. I have a bunch of cash and have had a bunch of cash. I'm still, you know, buying on a smaller scale, but like adding to the stack, but I'm in no rush. So kind of enjoying it. That's my rough outlook, I guess.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Great. Welcome in. You made it to another episode of the Meme Factory Podcast. This is episode 62. It's a test stream. As anybody who's watched the show, no, wait, we already start?
Greg, you're half an hour late.
Is this live?
You're
this
half live? An hour late.
Morning.
Oh, morning, shit. Greg.
Shit.
Wait.
Greg, what's up?
What's up, Dylan?
We got to ask Dylan the hard question now, and yeah. I'm going to come with it.
All right.
Okay, Dylan, when you came onto the scene, you had another buddy. His name was Will Clementi, and he's ventured off into the altcoin space, crypto space. What do you think about him going off into the altcoin crypto space, and what's your take on that?
I mean, Will and I are still friends. I think I have a more pessimistic, jaded view towards the crypto industry at large. I think some of the stuff that's being built on a, you know, public blockchain is interesting. But like, I think most of all crypto is just a grift and to contribute liquidity. I short altcoins. I mean, I tried all the L1 chains in the bull market. I didn't put money into them, but like, I wanted to see how Solana worked. It froze on me, like that sort of thing. I experimented. We talked about it together. I don't really know about, really like not promoting these things. I don't think he's promoting them. And he does good work. Like Will's a smart kid. But like, I don't know who, like, do I give a shit about SushiSwap? Not really. Or to my followers? Like, not really. So, I mean, we're still chill. We still talk every once in a while. Not like that Will deciding to dabble in altcoins or post about it is like changed our friendship or whatever. but like, I don't know. It's just a meh for me.
Yeah. I mean, I have some friends that have dabbled in the shit coins too. And you know, you try to let them know Bitcoin only, but sometimes, you know, they got to make their own decisions. So you got to let people make their own decisions. And that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. I think like there's a fine line between like, well, I don't know. I just think like, it's not worth like that difference in like opinion or not ideology, because that sounds so serious, but like I don't think it should splinter relationships or friendships or whatever. Like you call out like people, like the job of toxic maximalists is to like, or like the maximalist crowd, right, is to educate the uneducated if they want to hear it, right? If they don't want to hear it, then it's almost no use. And to call out the grift, essentially, right? But like if people are like, yeah, like I know it's a casino and like I want to play at the casino and I think I can win, you know, do what you got to do, man. I'm not like, you know, you're scratching a lottery ticket that like, you know, after fees, it's minus EV, it's minus expected value. You're, you know, the house wins on the long term. So like, I don't know. That's how I view altcoins.
Yeah. And I would always say like, it's one thing to like try to trade shit coins. And it's another thing to promote them, you know? And so that's what I think a lot of the Bitcoiners think about, like with Will, is essentially by tweeting about it, you can be looked at as promoting these different altcoins, which, you know, that's the decision that he's made and he thinks it's going to work for him. But history has shown that if you just stick with Bitcoin, it actually ends up working out for you a lot better. And sometimes it takes people to learn that lesson the hard way. So
like, yeah. So here's an anecdotal, and this was like a pretty weird experience phenomenon for me in the last 2 years. It was like during the 2021 bull market, like I was shitposting about Bitcoin in 2020, got a job at Bitcoin Magazine because of Twitter while still working like another job part-time. And 6 months later in the bull market, like I was getting, and I have a decent Bitcoin stack, right? Like I'm doing okay for myself as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old. But I got offered more than my like net worth all put together in crypto scams, in DMs. And I have a couple hundred thousand followers now, half of them, 70% of them are bots, but like whatever. In the bull market, I had like 40,000, 50,000 followers. Like I wasn't even like a, like famous, right? Like, you know, I'm famous, but like, and these, I was just getting chucked money. Like I didn't take it and promote it. To post about scams or projects. Like, here's a project.
Why didn't you take those?
Because I think like it clicked for me a little bit that the money was gonna come. And this thing I have really strong belief in as like probably our only chance to escape like the global panopticon. I think it's worth building a reputation around. And like I've told people in the industry or friends, like I live with my roommate who also dropped out of college and works around Bitcoin, like at the same company doing sales. Tyler, he's a beast. I was like, dude, I think if we just stay on the path of like championing this thing up, down, sideways, it's going to build an extremely strong like reputation and like a professional, but like a global network of like-minded individuals. And I think that's been directionally correct in the last 2 years. So I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah. People don't know the amount of money, especially in the bull market, those kind of shitcoin projects offer to Bitcoiners to seal their shit. Like it's easy money. You don't have to do much. And it's like...
You guys hear the bankless guys are still getting, I don't know if these numbers are updated or not. And to each their own, right? Like, yeah, these guys think pulled upon the second, you know, like the Infinity Stone or whatever. And the bankless guys are getting 250,000 a podcast or a month or something. Fucking yeah. Ridiculous. It's like, and who's paying them, right? I think I've indirectly heard, and I don't know if it's true.
The Ethereum Foundation.
It's the Ethereum Foundation.
Yeah, of course.
And how are they paying for that, right? With the pre-mine,
yeah,
that they
the
dump,
yeah.
With the pre-mine, coins. They dump at the top. It's actually super interesting. Vitalik is a Chad trader. The dude dumps at the top every time. Like,
well, and, yeah, if you have the 40% of the coins, whenever you dump, it's going to be the top, man.
You're a market maker.
No, I know. Two, it was more of a joke. And two, there's an interesting like kind of reflexivity to it with like market psychology, where like, oh, this guy's selling, I'm gonna sell a little bit, and it's like almost a self-reinforcing loop. So yeah, I mean, it's like on a long time frame, like not even a long time frame, like what is the crypto industry? X Bitcoin, like right, it's printing your own tokens, it's monetizing those tokens, it's advertising those tokens, it's distributing those tokens, it's telling a story.
Buying influence,
it's printing money. It's printing money.
Okay, so I've had this question and I want to ask you specifically. You've been keen to see all these crypto scams blow up. Is there any similarities between these crypto scams and fiat currencies, like government fiat currencies? Do they follow the same route? Like what, like is it, obviously there is, right? We think there is, but like how do you talk to people about the similarities between fiat currencies and these crypto scams?
To be honest, I don't even really make the direct comparison. Or at least the altcoin to fiat comparison. Sometimes I'll say like that altcoins are just just printing money like fiat, but I think my conviction upon Bitcoin is the fact that like the fiat credit system has to expand forever to, or else at this point with debt levels this high, and also the demographics not matching up to like where we can like grow our way out of it, just from like a math perspective, like there's no way to keep this thing going unless they continue to expand the numerator, and like, you know, the amount of bills in circulation. So on a debt to GDP level, like it's just math, and like I guess math and economics, but like if you understand anything about economics, finance, which you should, on a long enough time frame, like the thing expands forever, and there's no gold backing to default upon. Right? Like the only other two times that stocks and bonds have fallen this much ever in U.S. history was 2 years before the U.S. defaulted upon its gold peg twice. So what does that mean? Like 2 years, like every time we see a burst this big, 2 years after, what happens? The U.S. devalues their way out of a debt burden. Right. So like what happened this past year? Bondholders lost. I mean, this is in like yield terms, like duration terms. So the bond's value went from 100 to 80. But as yields from the long bond went from 1% to 3% to 4% or whatever it was, bondholders in inflation adjusted terms are down 40-50% from the highs, right? So a wealth transfer has already happened in a way. My kind of thesis is that this next decade is the biggest transfer of wealth ever from bondholders, creditors, and savers, from both holders, the savers, I guess, and creditors, bondholders, people that you lent someone money for 30 years, you're going to get it back. Hyper-Bitcoinization is just a massive transfer of wealth from those fiat-denominated promises, which, again, don't exist. A debt instrument, like I hold a treasury bond, right? That's worth $100 and I can sell it. But like there's no money there. It's just a future promise. So like these things just collapse at some point. Under their own weight. It's a Ponzi, essentially. Like, and the central issue where it's just job is to keep the gig going. I sometimes compare it to normies, but like there are some similarities, I think. I think eventually the centrally planned cost of capital will just get speculative attacked, and people will just continue to add Bitcoin on the asset side of their balance sheet while increasing fiat liabilities to the point where Bitcoin's exchange rate just explodes to the upside. That's kind of what I think.
I feel the difficult thing about pointing out to normies how similar crypto is to fiat is that they also don't understand how fiat is.
They have, no understanding. No understanding. Yeah. It's a big, big, big orange pill, big red pill. Debt is money. It's like, it just doesn't make sense, right?
I wanted to touch on something you brought up earlier about the next phase. You said you think the scams are going to be another order of magnitude more vicious. I want to know what you think some of those scams might look like.
Well, yeah, I think I don't know what the innovation is sold as. Maybe it's another freaking Ethereum stupid cycle of Ponzi's that like people just through like obfuscation, people thought like like people thought that Terra Luna and the UST peg like solved an age old economic problem. Like people thought it solved like an economic problem that had persisted for thousands of years. This trilemma of currency pegs. I mean, we don't have to get into specifics, but like they thought that like, oh yeah, like Luna is going up forever. Just it backs the token. And as long as you can redeem $1, like people thought there was innovation. What was it? It was just leverage. It was just obfuscated leverage. So I don't know what scam they're going to come next. I think honestly, a lot of them are going to be built. Like, I think one of the things is like Bitcoin is separating itself from this whole shit fest. People, when Bitcoin doesn't die, Bitcoin's exchange rate bottoms and then doubles, right? It's like in the headlines, it's like over 2024, the price of Bitcoin has doubled. And it's like, maybe it's past its all-time high, maybe it's not, right? So it's still kind of under the surface. Like people are going to acquire so much Bitcoin and they're going to do it with so much leverage and like the price is going to absolutely explode. And I think like, you know, a lot of that leverage, just like it was this cycle, some of it was transparent. You know, MicroStrategy, you're like, oh, okay, $1 billion of debt, going to buy Bitcoin, which was like kind of at the top, which is, you know, unfortunate. But stuff like that, like I think it just happens. And this is not going to be 2023, like maybe not even 2024 or 2025, but I think I'm very confident at some point in a long enough time frame, this thesis is correct. And there's just going to be just like, maybe like government, like institutional, not like joke institutions, not Three Arrows Capital and BlockFi and fucking MicroStrategy, like with all due respect to MicroStrategy, it's a small cap on the NASDAQ. But like big money coming in. And, you know, market buying like tens of billions of dollars of Bitcoin with leverage, like I think that happens. And at that point, it's going to just be like a massive, massive FOMO event. It's going to be pretty, pretty crazy to watch.
Yeah, I think
we got some chaos first.
I think we're on the same page, but I want to revisit the question. Like, what do you think the scams built on top of the shitcoin mama are going to be? Like, do you have somebody, are they in your DMs now saying, hey, here's some money to, you know, promote monkeys on a NFT card daily?
Yeah, I don't know.
And when they do get in your DMs, you're telling me, right?
Exactly.
Donald right. Trump hats.
Yeah, I'm Donald Trump NFTs, just run it back. No,
laser eyes on the blockchain.
Was so dumb. It'll be hard to beat. I somewhat think that we've seen potentially at the scale relative to Bitcoin, like Bitcoin was 1.3 trillion or something. Like crypto was like a $3 trillion market cap. There was never $3 trillion there, right? Like it was just, yeah, it was the same $1 billion layered around fucking 50 times at the end there.
Well, it's the same as like the derivatives market. Like that money's not really there.
Well, yeah, but even then, like derivatives, like, For a futures contract, and this is like FTX, obviously, like there's fraud going on, but like, you know, futures, right? Every long there's a short, and like, you know, for every call there's a put, right? Or for every call buyer there's a seller. Like that's derivatives. What altcoin was like a financial bubble, right? Where they're like a marginal seller, only marginal buyers, and the thing gaps, and it just goes up 10 bajillion percent, and all of a sudden like a little bit of sell pressure just tops the thing, and then it's just self. And so I don't know. American HODL thinks it's identity, which is pretty interesting. Like the Ethereum crowd, like, you know, it's like digital identity on a block. Fuck if I know. But like, I really believe that Ethereum is going to try to optimize to be the CBDC chain of choice. Like you already see them embracing that, right? Like they would champion if like JP Morgan and like the treasury market were like, we are announcing a joint venture to launch blah, 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 like tomorrow, the dot ETHs would go batshit crazy to be the CBDC chain, you know?
Health and travel on a blockchain. I thought
that was going to be XRP though. Isn't that their whole stick? Like well, we're XRP, gonna replace Swift. So XRP what are your delusional. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, the XRP crowd I can't imagine being that dumb. I feel bad, honestly. I have a crazy uncle that is, on XRP army, and it's just sad. you know, and it's just mass delusion. It's like almost like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. So yeah, you know, okay, so we're getting kind of far along the show, and we haven't given out scores yet. So Rusty, it is your turn to give out the scores. We like our scores, and we like them right now.
We demand scores.
Yeah.
Rusty, wake up.
Yeah, I'm awake. Hey, everybody. All right. We're going to start with Sean. Sean, your score is a screaming three-year-old.
Yes. Wait, no.
Nice.
It's a good score. Yellow, your score is a three-month-old cavoodle who keeps pissing in the house.
Are you just looking around you right now?
Yeah, that's just a strategy I got from Labra.
Yeah.
Rusty's life is in shambles right now.
Dylan, you're doing really well. You get a big bouncy ball, the one that you sit on at a desk if you're like a influencer.
Thank you.
Strengthens your core.
Ooh, do I get the pass through, Bill?
Greg, you don't get much because you came pretty late. So you just get a broom. One that gets used for like sweeping up the leaves on the AstroTurf in my backyard specifically. Yeah. if you could come and do that, that'd be great. Becca, you've got a clothesline. You got a clothesline, Becca?
Are you talking about like a across the neck? Or are you talking about like?
Or like, I don't know, maybe you guys
call it something different. Yeah, laundry. It's laundry. A laundry one. Yeah.
Excellent.
Not as good.
Pedro, you've been pretty quiet. I don't know if you said anything. I don't know if he's even on. Are you? Yeah. You on, Pedro?
You can only hear when you say it twice.
Yeah. You get a baby swing
three times.
I have to put a three-year-old in. RD, you get a clumping bamboo.
That's a great score. What is that? What is a clumping bamboo? Yeah, it sounds like a bamboo. Bad.
It's bamboo, but it's not the bamboo that your neighbors get really pissed off at you for having because it grows everywhere. It's the bamboo that you buy. So when your neighbors complain about you having bamboo, you can tell them it's clumping bamboo and it doesn't spread.
Even if you wear a mask.
Thanks.
Yeah. That's everyone's score. That's it. Thank you.
Sponsored by Coinbits.
So thanks, Rusty. I think, Greg, you had a question for Dylan. I'm not mistaken.
I got all kinds of questions for Dylan. You got one in particular you wanted me to ask?
Sure. Just ask it. Whatever question that you want to ask.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you guys addressed this at all, but I saw a lot of stuff showing that like on-chain metrics of Bitcoin being withdrawn off of Binance, something like 2,000 coins an hour at one point. How do we know how much of that they can sustain? And what happens to them if they get to a
point? At least 100 million, because Justin Sun put like 100 million.
Yeah, that's true. I think, they have a lot. They're not going to close the gates until things get, like if they are in trouble, they're not going to close the gates until, you know, basically the last minute. And it's going to accelerate, right? Like, because you can see the balances. So the first, like, you know, 50,000 Bitcoin from its top have been withdrawn or whatever it is, right? 60,000, 70, whatever. They still have 500,000 plus Bitcoin, a bunch of ETH, a bunch of stable coins. But like runs can accelerate fast. And I in particular, I'm watching, like I said a little bit earlier, watching BNB in Bitcoin terms, regardless of the dollar exchange rate. Like a hawk, because that's going to be a tell if they need liquidity, because there's no way they're not supporting the token, both on the buy side, but like it's not official and we don't know, and they're much more secretive, but like Binance has their own version of Alameda, right, with all the proprietary metrics that's, you know, supposedly like sharks in these waters, but like the free market is a son of a bitch, and trying to play God because you have way more capital, I think probably leads to mistakes. So who knows how much you know, what their liabilities are on that giant pool of assets. And the interesting thing is, like, I don't think it's like strictly labeled and whatever. I think it's just like 18 wallets, like four on Tron, four on Ethereum, BSC chain, and Bitcoin and stable coins or whatever. And it's just like a cesspool of all these assets, right? And like they have yield products and they have this and they have that. They pledge an industry recovery fund, $1 billion, right? To bail out industry. They posted the state BUSD stablecoins from an address that they marked, that they slashed off in the proof of reserves. Right. So what is this? Are they just commingling the funds? Is it just an honest mistake? Is that what we're supposed to believe? I mean, come on. So I have no funds on Binance and I wouldn't hold them on Binance. But I mean, I'll certainly be monitoring and posting it about it closely. So if anything is happening, you know, I think I'll be on it.
All right. I think the real question Sean wanted me to ask was about a recent appearance you made on Real Vision. And I guess the question is why go on Real Vision? I mean, we all know you shouldn't be on here to begin with on the Meme Factory. It doesn't do anything for you, but why in fact go on Real Vision? On top of that, are you committing career suicide in front of everybody's eyes?
No, I mean, I was just, I honestly wanted to go, and give the maximalist perspective. And I kind of like, it wasn't with Raul. It was like two people, one journalist that's been like asking me questions or whatever. But like, I was just like, they wanted to talk about Binance or whatever. And honestly, I just went and gave 45 minutes of why I am a Bitcoin maximalist in the crypto industry. It's just a joke. So like, yeah, that, and like, I was very transparent in my, like in stating that. So like, I don't normally give like, you know, shitcoin outlets my time. And like to this day, I haven't done an interview and gotten paid for it. So like, you know, I don't want to get paid. Like I just talk about what I like. But I don't know why I did. It was impulsive.
Should we cancel our transaction that we just sent?
I think he gets paid from the ad read. He gets a percentage of the, yeah.
There was a little echo there. So
great, great answer, Dylan. We would also accept the answer. We let the lawyers handle it. I think it's time for the RD question and wrapping it up slowly.
Wrapping it up slowly?
Slowly.
RD, you awake?
I'm here. Got my notes. I'm ready.
The most important question
of the night.
Thanks for coming on, Dylan. But this is the important question. If the Meme Factory did exist, and we all know it doesn't, who would you like? Who would you retweet? And who would you mute?
That's a great question.
Yes.
Let me pull up all you guys. Quit
stalling for time. We learned from Jack Mallers that saying that's a great question is media training for I don't have a good answer for that.
Is that true? I've never been briefed. Probably. I'd probably retweet Greg. I probably retweeted Greg the most, just being honest, or maybe RD over the years. Toss yellow it was like retweeting what? I don't know. Yellow had mute. A pretty honestly, mute. Yeah, I might just mute you, Yellow. No, but you had, I'm kidding. I think the honorable mention to Yellow for that TA video, or he's done a couple, but I'm just murmuring nonsense.
That's so good.
Yeah, maybe I'll mute Becca for the horny sailor tweets on the timeline. That's always good.
No sense.
No Sims.
No Sims. I think it's my first mute.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like I only get mutes and retweets.
No likes. No one good likes.
Nobody likes my stuff.
Okay. One last thing, Dylan. Do you know what happens at block high 840,000?
Yeah. The next halving.
Nice. Okay. This guy is smart.
On point.
The next halving, that is true. And we are throwing the halving party. in El Salvador in March of 2024. It's going to be a blast. We want you to come down. We're giving you an invite. Come down to the having party. Show up. It's going to be awesome. We're going to make it a blast because we're some memers and we know how to have fun. We
might all not, inclusive.
We may not be the smartest, but we're the funnest. And and it's all inclusive. All you can eat, all you can drink. And the drinking age is not 21, so you can drink down there.
I'm 21. Okay. No, I'm just playing with you. Yeah, it sounds great. I plan on going to El Salvador. That's on the checklist for sure. Nice.
Well, now you have a reason. Now you have a reason to go down to El Salvador for that.
I'm in.
Yes. All right, Dylan. While we've got you here, are you working on anything currently that you want any of the six viewers to know about?
You guys know what I do.
I
did Bitcoin stuff on Twitter.
You'll find his stuff in the show notes. It's got his Twitter handle and the other two things that are on your Twitter page. What is that? Bitcoin Magazine and a Twitch feed. The deep dive.
Yeah, I read a newsletter, do some research, have fun. That's about
Twitch,
it.
Are you gaming on Twitch?
No, I haven't streamed in like 6 months or so. I'd honestly just stream my setup and just talk with people. It's like I kind of interact on Twitter, but just like with a live, like I wish Spaces had a screen sharing option or something.
Yeah. You should like do some more Spaces. You did a Spaces a while back and I thought it was pretty good. So yeah, you should do them every once in a while. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And congrats on keeping your job at Bitcoin Magazine. That's feels like a congratulatory event.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was tough. Tough to see people get laid off. Good amount of friends. We didn't have even exposure to FTX. It's just the reality that it's like a Bitcoin media company, like stuff, something like an FTX.
Well, happens. you did have exposure to something else. Anyway,
Dylan, thank you for your time tonight. I really appreciate it.
It's not only you, man. So it's okay.
Yeah. No, he's not exposing himself on screen. Now,
yeah.
I wanted to say thanks, Dylan. I appreciate you coming on. Sorry I was late. And thank all our viewers for tuning in to see Dylan tonight. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. It was a
cheers.
Fun night. Cheers.
Dylan.
Thanks, man.
And he's gone.
Yep.
Did Pedro take us off? Are we live still? I can't hear you.
Greg. Oh, I think
I have no idea.
Oh, there you are.
He bounced. Pedro,
I think we're still live.
Is this live? Is this live?
Pedro has
it. Is this live, Pedro? Asleep.
Pedro, wake up.
Son of a bitch.